It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley. You know, most of us at some point in our life, we've experienced failure, whether it's a failed business venture, failed marriage, failed relationship, or all of us have failed God and even disappointed ourselves at times. David writes about this in Psalm 32. It's a Psalm of David. It's a Psalm that teaches something very important. It's called a maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L. And that's a song that teaches a lesson to the listener. And so he says this in Psalm 32. He says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." Now, David uses here, depending on which translation you have, three different words to describe his failure: transgression, iniquity, and sin. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And he says, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So all three words here are talking about David's failure. The word sin in the original Greek is the word harmatia, and it means to miss the mark. It was actually used in sporting events, like in archery, when an archer will shoot an arrow and it falls short of the target, then the line judge would holler out, "Harmatia, you've missed the mark. You've fallen short." See, so many times in life, we fall short. The mark God set for us was a perfect standard, and that was the standard of Jesus Christ. Then they use the word transgression. What is a transgression? A transgression refers to a presumptuous sin. It means you intentionally choose to disobey. It's willful trespassing. When we knowingly run a stop sign or tell a lie or blatantly disregard authority, at that point we're transgressing. And then the third word he used here was the word iniquity. Iniquity. This is premeditated choice, continuing without repentance. Like Samson when he chose to break his Nazarite vow. You see, iniquity, if left unchecked, it leads to a state of willful sin with no fear of God. And when this continues, friend, God often refers to his cup of iniquity. Israel had a cup of iniquity that was filled every year on Yom Kippur, and the high priest would go in and make a sacrifice. All three of these words were sin. They all were missing the mark. They were just different levels of sin depending on the person's will. David learned a painful lesson, and he used this song as an opportunity to teach others from his own failure. See, friend, when you run to God in repentance, don't run and hide your sin like Adam and Eve did. It'll only come back to bite you. But run to God. David ran to God and asked God for his forgiveness. See, wise people return to God when they fail. Foolish people, they rebel. David rejoiced in his forgiveness. He said, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven." David begins his psalm by rejoicing in his forgiveness. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm so grateful that I have found forgiveness and redemption. I read a story the other day about Thomas Watson, who from 1914 to 1956, he was chairman and CEO of IBM. When a vice president of IBM came up with an idea to set up a separate division, he was given permission to do so, and he promptly lost $10 million. He came in and he told Mr. Watson that he was resigning, and when Watson asked why, the vice president said, "Well, because this thing was such a miserable failure." Watson's reported to have responded like this: "You're not resigning after I just spent $10 million on your education." Wow, friend. See, we can't quit God because we fail or make a mistake. No, he only wants us to turn to him, and he uses it to teach us a lesson. Verse 2 of Psalm 32 said, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." See, David looks ahead, I believe, in a prophetic way, and he sees something that could only come through the blood of Jesus. He sees that one day, through the cross, God would no longer count our sins against us. See, as Christians, we still blow it, and we still fail. At one time or another, we sin, we transgress, and we commit iniquity. What's the difference? Now, because of the new birth, now because of what Jesus did for me, God no longer counts sin against me. All this, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You see, sin separated us from God. So what did Jesus do? He became the very thing that held us captive so that we might become the righteousness of God. See, that's one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. David said in verse 3, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." See, David here is describing the child of God who has unrepentant sin. He's miserable. He even hurts physically. His bones ache. His strength is zapped like in the heat of summer. The power of repentance. What is repentance, my friend? Repentance is a change of mind that causes us to turn from sin. It's when you change your mind about sin and you change your direction. You turn from the sin and you turn towards God. That's what happened with David. He said in verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." There you have it. Sin, iniquity, and transgressions. David confessed it all to Jesus, to God, and then God forgave all the guilt of his sin. Forgiveness is a powerful thing, friend. Now we come to the therefore verse in verse 6 of Psalm 32. Therefore, I've taught you, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. God's going to say something heavy. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. See, what's David talking about? I believe the rising of the mighty waters is referring to God's judgment upon sin, as he did with Noah and the flood. Jesus is our ark now, and the higher waters that rise against us, they won't reach us when we're in Christ. Then David likens God to a refuge or a tower. He says, "You're my hiding place. You'll protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Friend, there is a security I find in Christ. He's my hiding place. Regardless of the attack the enemy might try and bring against me, God is my hiding place. He said in verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." And then he goes on in verse 10 and says, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing all you who are upright in heart." Sing all you who are upright in heart. Friend, today, I don't know if you are facing failure in your life right now. Maybe you're going through a broken relationship. Maybe you've just disappointed God. I want you to know that God is as close as the air we breathe, and he loves you, friend. Sometimes with failure, we just need to start all over again. Sometimes, whether it's a relationship, we need to ask for forgiveness and just say, hey, I blew it. I want another chance. And with God, I think one of the most beautiful passages in all of the Bible about repentance has got to be Psalm 51. This, again, is a psalm of David. This is after Nathan the prophet came to David, and David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he confronts David about his own sin. And this is what David says when he cries out to God to try to remedy his failure. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." There's those three words again: transgressions, iniquity, and sin. And then he says, "For I know my transgressions, for my sin is always before me." I believe that David, every time he would just go throughout his day, maybe it was in the reflection on the water, maybe it was just in the, when he'd look in the mirror, he would see Uriah the Hittite that he had killed because he wanted his wife. Whatever it was, his sin was be ever before him. And David said in verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." You see, it's God that we ultimately hurt. No matter what the sin is, he's created us and given us eternal life. And when we sin, it's really God that we hurt the most. David says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts and teach me wisdom in the inmost place." Now look down to verse 10. This is what David prays, and I love this prayer. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You know, our heart is our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions. David knew that that part of him was damaged because of this thing called sin. He says, "God, create a pure heart in me. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. God, help me to be stronger. Help me to live the way you want me to live." And he says in verse 11, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." You know, whenever we sin, I think it's amazing that the same devil who talks you into doing the wrong thing that you know is wrong and that you shouldn't do against God, the same devil who talks you into it is the one who condemns you and tells you, you know, that you're toast now. You know, you can never go back to God. You failed. You've committed the unpardonable sin. That same devil wants to keep you away from God's presence. What did David say? "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Friend, sin will keep the joy out of your life as a Christian. Sin will bring you to the point where you don't enjoy life like you once did because you know you've sinned against God. David says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And then I love verse 13. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." See, friend, it's really hard for us to help others if we ourselves are struggling and we ourselves are in unrepentant sin. You can't do a whole lot for others when you're struggling in your own life. Today, have you experienced failure? I want you to know that failure is not final. God is a God of the second chance and the third chance and even the fourth chance. He's there to help you until we begin to overcome sin and live by the grace of God. I so appreciate you joining me today on Fresh Oil. Today we've been talking about failure, and failure is not final. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time. Remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.